What's going on, podcast listeners? Neil here for another episode of the Remote Local Podcast. I got a special guest today, someone I've been knowing for a while, working with for a while. Steven is on with us. What's going on, Steven?
Hey, everybody. Hey, Neil.
Steven, where are you right now?
I am in Pennsylvania, a little town called Reading, which is one of the few American towns which we pronounce with a British pronunciation, because otherwise it looks like Reading.
Oh, interesting. You would know that, Steven. You would. Steven, tell everyone a little bit about your background. There's a lot of background going on here, but current background, I don't even know where to start, man. Your current background has changed. Like, you and I know each other from the copywriting days, and that's Steven owns thousands of books, puts out book reviews, and, you know, he's very interested in that, which is why he knows things of like reading or writing. But Steven, can you tell us about generally your background? And I'm going to dive in from there.
Sure, I'll try to do the Reader's Digest. So I was born in Singapore originally. I lived there until I was 9. My family moved to America. My American dad told my Chinese mom that was part of the deal when they got married, that one day, I don't know when, I would like to raise the children in America. My mom totally bought into this. I didn't find out till years later how unacceptable this is. Normally in the Asian culture, you don't leave your family. You certainly don't marry a white guy and convert to Catholicism. And then, you know, move to America of all places. But she did. And I always tease her because, you know, she'll say, well, you know, what are you doing in France? And I'm like, Mom, this is coming from the woman who left her family and moved to America, right? So I moved to America when I was 9. That's where I picked up this accent. I don't know what I sounded out like as a kid, but I don't think I had a Midwestern accent.
Singaporean, yeah, whatever that accent is.
Right. Singaporeans have a very distinctive accent. So you can pick them out from a crowd wherever you are in the world. But maybe I had that accent. Who knows? You know, that's what I envy about kids these days, is that every part of their life is documented. Mm-hmm. And you can see, what was I like at 3 and 4? And you and I, we don't necessarily have that way to look back at ourselves. But in any case, lived in America many years. I lived all over Texas, California, Michigan, New Hampshire, Kansas, Missouri. I spent some time in the Marines, went to college on the East Coast, studied abroad in Italy. But eventually, through many twists and turns, started a tutoring company first in Southern California in Orange County, built that for a couple years, realized I didn't want to build a life in Orange County. As Neil knows, California is a very special place, special for lots of different ways, lots of different meetings. And so despite 330 days of sunshine a year, which is irrefutable about life in Southern California, I moved to Kansas, which is some of the worst weather in the world. Midwestern weather is not great weather, but my sisters were out there. Life was a little slower. And I thought, well, I'll just start another tutoring business. So I was helping kids with the ACT, the SAT, GMAT, GRE, LSAT, MCAT, standardized tests. And I built that company over 7 years with a co-founder and some investors and some of my own money. And then I sold that in 2012.
How big was it?
How big was the company? How many employees? So we had, I don't know, maybe 12 or 13 part-time employees, because everyone had a day job of some sort, because you don't tutor until after school.
Got it.
So we had probably 3 full-time office staff, but everyone else was, part-time of sorts. And a lot of times, like, we had a lawyer who worked for us, and she was like, this is straight up student loan money. Right. So she had her lawyer day job, and then she was tutoring. And we took pride in the fact we paid our tutors very well, anywhere between $30 and $70 an hour, and then potentially more. Mm. But this was my background from the Princeton Review, where I'd cut my teeth as a tutor originally, was they would charge like $300 an hour, and then you'd get 25 or something like that.
Yep.
And I found this to be unacceptable on a number of levels. And so one of the things that I vowed early on when I built that company was to make sure that the tutors got a lot. They didn't necessarily get all of the income, but they got a lot more than they would have gotten at the Princeton Review. And I was able to say, no one else in the industry pays as much as we do. And
you sold that company?
I sold that company in 2012. Mm-hmm. And I spent a year working for the new owner. I just went back to being a tutor, stopped showing up at the office in the mornings. And I spent a year figuring out, how do I move to France as a non-student, non-spouse, non-salaried job person, because those are the three easy routes, right? Go apply as a student, easy. If you're a spouse, easy. If you have a job, that the company's legal team will take care of all your paperwork. But so
Sorry, I'm actually going to pause you because we've got like a lot of twists and turns on the story, and I actually kind of want to lay down the premise of what we've been talking about here before you actually dive into this. So Stephen, what he's going to get into is kind of achieved what a lot of us want to achieve, which is escape the matrix, start a remote local business, live the dream. And I think the question that I thought was fascinating, which is why I wanted Stephen on the podcast, is what happens then? After you achieve your dream life, how do you feel? What do you want to do? You know, that like what happens at the end of the rainbow? A lot of us don't know because we're still trying to get there. And I think Stephen, through his stories and what he's explaining here, has been there. And it's interesting where he's at now. And I just thought it was such a fascinating story of Stephen achieving location independence and then having some kind of brain adjustments to figure out what it's actually like and making some decisions based off of that. So Stephen, I cut you off there, but I think you were to get to the point of you having a realization of almost the escape from society, escape from the matrix, and going to location independence. Is that where you're getting here?
Sure. And part of that was leaving the United States. So you've talked about this before on the pod, that when you leave the United States, you're able to question narratives that you can't question when you're there. When you're there, you're like, oh yeah, that's how life is. Like you just shrug your shoulders, like, what am I going to do about it? But when you're away from it and you're able to look at it from across an ocean and you look at it through the lens of the people next to you who are saying, why does America do this? Or why do you do this? Or why do you think this way? And then you think, well, that's crazy. You know, I don't know why.
Like what? Way.
Well, so we have this strange gun religion in America, right? Let's say our quote unquote religious people, small r religious in general. But there are things about, like, America is a religion for people. That's why we have this national anthem. We sing the national anthem before sports matches. We have flags everywhere. If you go to Washington, D.C., there's a giant statue of Abraham Lincoln, which to everyone outside of the United States looks like a temple to a Greek god. Mm-hmm. Lincoln is sitting there imperious like Caesar. We have this sacred Bible called the Constitution, which is under glass and then gets whisked away if anyone were to ever take it. We have this sacred prayer that we say called the Pledge of Allegiance. We have this sacred vestment that you're not allowed to burn called the flag. Mm-hmm. And so in any case, you're able to question a lot of these narratives. And I'm not saying that all of those things are wrong, but I'm saying when you're away, you can question it. And so living in France for 10 years, which has been the case, has allowed me to look back and ask questions, not just about my upbringing, but about who I am and what I wanted. And what you were asking about, which is what happens at the end of the rainbow? I got what I wanted. Not only had I sold a brick and mortar business and gone through all, and Neil, I know that you'll go through this too, if and when you ever exit any of your other different businesses, that, okay, I did it. Now what? So one answer is, oh, you go ahead and start another business. That was not necessarily my idea. I wasn't going to build another business and sell it. It was like I basically had bought the time to explore what I didn't while I had sacrificed all this time building a business in the past.
So Stephen, let me pause you here. So you exited your business. You felt like this still wasn't it. Like you didn't feel like, oh my God, like I finally done it. I'm so happy. You just wanted to say, you wanted to get out. So you decided you wanted to move to France. Is that the next big decision here?
I think if I had it, I would have gotten really, I had all sorts of offers from the network I built all the years of building the company, and they would have kept me there and kept me, let's say, really content and happy materially. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't it. I knew there was something else. And I thought, if I don't go to Europe now, I'm never going to go. I need to know what it's like. And I didn't know what it was going to be like. I told everyone I was going to go for a year and see what happened. And then 10 years passed.
Okay. And so you're living in Europe at this point and you have... Are you happier than you were when you were in America doing the rat race or having your own business? How do you feel?
Yeah. Yeah. 1,000%. And I think it's because the quality of life in Europe is just through the roof. There's very much a universal acceptance in Europe that the question is life first, work second. Work is just a means that you use to power your life. And in America, we're so often defined by our work and we're sort of wondering, well, what do I do with my life in the meantime? And with that comes a whole host of other things, travel, hobbies, exploration, just more free time and not this incredible dedication to work. And when you have that time to reflect, I think you can build a richer life. And as you know, it's so easy to travel in Europe. I've had a chance to travel to every country in Europe except the ones I can't legally get into at the moment, Ukraine, Belarus, and Russia. But it's just, it's a wonderful tapestry. And I had a chance to do that right up until COVID. So COVID hits March 17th. The only reason I remember is I'm at a DCX conference in Bansko, Bulgaria. And a lot of smart people are saying, hey, Steven, you probably need to get on a flight back to France. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm going to go ski. I'm going to go skiing with my friends. They're like, no, you need to go. And then I kept listening to all these smart people saying, Steven, you need to go. And when I found out that Ryanair wasn't charging a fee to change flights, I'm like, okay, something's really bad.
Ryanair, yeah.
Yeah, when Ryanair is lifting fees for changing flights. So I got back and I think the border closed 1 hour after I landed back in France. So now you and I and everyone else in the world had a lot of time to reflect and think. And my life was severely interrupted. I'd been traveling a lot that previous year. So I'd been gone from France maybe 200 days of that year leading up to the break. I'd been going to conferences like you had. In fact, I think we had seen each other in Bangkok in 2019. So part of that cycle of leading up to the COVID break was a lot of travel. And when your social life has been broken and your regular routines and your travel, you're left with time to think. And I'm not the only one who had time to think during COVID. But I think the question was, is this it? Like, what's going to happen when things, quote unquote, go back to normal?
So Stephen,
is your life going to resume?
I think you had the life that a lot of people here are thinking about, which is financial and location freedom. Is that true?
Yes, I had a remote local existence. So I had a copywriting agency. I had a few other small businesses and side hustles that I was running with partners. But I had that location.
And you had the amount of money you need covering all your expenses. Yep. You were good. You were out traveling. You were living where you wanted. So you achieved both financial and location freedom at this point, and you were running that for multiple years, and you were happy.
Right. It wasn't like Maldives helicopter, like throwing dollar bills out of the window kind of money. Mm-hmm. But that's the whole point, is what's enough, right? And for me, I had more than enough, and I was very grateful for that.
And so COVID happened, a lot more time to reflect. You have this ideal life. What changes then?
Right. So the point is, if I've been living my dream life for 10 years, which I really had, I had some challenges, obviously, early on in France and adapting to the immigration process, but it was all a great adventure. And the question was, okay, if things go back to normal, do I just go back to my life?
Right.
So I've already been living my dream life for 10 years. Do I just keep living my dream life for another 10 years? And I think for me, that was an unsatisfactory answer. And some people might say, you're crazy, Steven. And I totally get that. Like, for many people, it's like, I'll keep living my dream life until I die. But I think for me, particularly regarding my faith and my worldview, I felt like I needed to do more with my life. And I've already discerned in the past that I wasn't called to marriage and having children. So was there another way that I could give back? And there's been an organization, well, a Catholic bishop who I've done work with over the years through one of my other businesses. And I thought, is there a way that I can give back? I can help and volunteer in some way. And I reached out to him and he's like, ah, Steven, you're kind of old, you know, to do this. And part when he says that, you know, half joking, but the idea is I'm now going to move to a community where meals are taken at the same time. There's a rule of silence after 10 o'clock at night. I have to ask permission to go places, right? I won't have my own vehicle. I can't just come and go. I've lived this life of extreme freedom for the last 10 years. And he knows that because he knows me. We've had a chance to work together. He says, are you sure you want to do this? I've been watching your travels for the last few years. And I said, yeah, well, the only way for me to know is to try. It's like any business idea, right? You can only talk about the theory. You've got to launch an MVP and figure it out. So this is my MVP period, right? I'm now speaking to you.
Stephen, from why?
Why did I? Why like, did I?
So I guess for anyone listening, you know, Stephen, entrepreneur, sold his business, moved to France, lived the ideal life for 10 years and decided, I don't want to continue living the ideal life. And I guess, Stephen, my question to you is, did you just say, I'm kind of bored of this? Like,
nope,
do you think human nature is the change? Like, what is it here?
No, I think boredom is the case if you haven't constructed an ideal life, because an ideal life allows for growth and change, right? Mm. So I've set myself up for that opportunity to explore, opportunity to build businesses, opportunity to network, meet new people, generate friendships. I had purposely and intentionally built a life that was built for expansion and built for, let's say, infinite growth personally. Mm-hmm. But there's a sort of a metaphysical question here. When you ask why, the question is, well, what is the purpose of this life? Right? If the purpose of this life is simply confined to living this life and there's nothing else afterwards, that's the crux of, okay, well, if I don't believe that, if I believe there is something afterwards and there's something that I can do to contribute to a quality of life, if you want to say in the afterlife, mm-hmm. let's say in a life that really matters, I need to invest that time now. And part of that also means chasing purpose outside of yourself. So one of the challenges of that dream life is you're relentlessly focused on building that, but it also means you I don't want to say the selfish, but you have to be very focused on your own needs and desires in order to build that life.
Right.
And I thought, I've already mastered this skill. So I don't, there's, if you look 10 years from now, like, I'm not going to be any better at being Steven or living Steven. Like, I've maxed. Like, I already know how to take care of myself at a very high level. And I've lived it at a level that most people will never achieve in their life because of various reasons. Does it make me better? It just gives me different opportunities. And what that meant is, can I do something even more? And I think for me, looking outside of myself, when a father of a family, he as a husband, as father to his children, he doesn't have to look outside of himself for purpose. It's staring him in the face. It wakes him up at 3 a.m. Right. Mm. It wakes him up when someone's sick. But when you're a single person and you don't, and I'm a fun time, you know, I'm a fun, part-time uncle, full-time uncle, however you want to look at it, but those aren't my children. I can't form them with my ideas. All I can do is contribute a little bit to their life. I wanted to see if I can contribute in other ways. And I think so the meta answer and also the particular answer for me is I wanted to do more, that all I can do by living my dream life is serve myself. And I wanted to try to serve others. And this is one small way that I can do that.
Interesting. Do you think you'll go back to your dream life, or do you think that's no longer going to be your dream life because it doesn't provide enough purpose, growth, things outside of Steven?
There's phases in our life. And I look back to the 7 years I spent building that company that I sold. And one of the things you tweeted about the other day is something I wish I had known back then in my early 20s while I was hustling, which is I was the hamster, but I was in a business building hamster wheel. I wasn't in a job hamster wheel, but I was like, I gotta build this business. And if someone had put a microphone and said, Steven, why? I'm like, well, to sell it. And I say, but why? So I can make money. Okay. But then why? It's like, so I can live my dream life. Right. And so you're on this hamster wheel. You made sacrifices. So of that time period, I sacrificed time with my family and friends that I will never get back. And that's something I always look back on. That 7 years of building that company, it gave me the freedom to develop as a person beyond, but I did have to pay a price. Everything comes at a price. And I sacrificed time, family, friendships, relationships during that 7 year period. And so I don't go back and say, well, I wish that had never happened, but it helped elevate me to this next 10 year period in which I then got to put that to the test. Like, okay, you now have the tools to build your dream life. Let's see what you do with that kid. And I did. I feel very much that I had built that in a wonderful country. I got to meet people like yourself from all over the world, and was on the way to continue doing that. Like nothing in March of 2020 would have made me think that was ever going to be different. It was only me bigger, better. I was going to go to more DCXs in 2020 than I'd been to in 2019. Mm. You know, it was going to be bigger. It was just going to be 2020 was going to be a bigger, badder version of 2019.
Yeah.
Right? And 2019 was already a pretty big, bad year for me. And sure, there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't look back and say, oh, that was all trash and it didn't mean anything. No, it was wonderful. It was best years of my life. The last 10 years have been the best years of my life. But I think fundamentally for me as a person about what is it that makes you get out of bed in the morning? Remember, they always talk about ikigai, how the Okinawans think about their life, why they're so long lived is because they have a purpose. They also have a great diet and they have great exercise routines, but they also have a reason to get up every day. And yes, you are pretty important and you are enough of a reason to get up every day. But I do think something more powerful than that is other people. other people depending on you in some other format. And so, and not everyone has to take as an extreme step as I did, leaving your dream life and moving somewhere in which you're going to be living in a semi-monastic community with religious. But I do think it's important, whatever your state of life, whether you've achieved your dream life or not, is to find purpose outside of yourself, find a way to serve people other than yourself, because I think that is going to inevitably help you grow as a person. Focusing on yourself and building your dream life so that you can flourish, that's one way to do things. And I think in a sense, it's almost a baseline. And that's why I'm such a champion of the remote local lifestyle. I'm such a fan of what you're trying to communicate to people. But all that can do is provide you, that's a what and a how. But the remote local lifestyle cannot give you a why. That's something you have to seek inside. And that may be a long conversation. It may take a lot of time, but you will be more likely to be able to ask that question seriously in a remote local lifestyle than you will in the rat race. Remote local lifestyle is going to give you the time, the space, and the peace to do that. And that's what I'm really grateful for, that I had the time to ask these questions of myself and then implement a plan as radical. Like how I built the remote local life for myself is how then I had to reverse engineer. It's like, well, how do I exit the remote local lifestyle? Well, I have to be really intentional. I had to do these sort of business things like I've got to exit my apartment. I've got to sell some stuff. I have to do all these different things. At the same time, put in my papers for French citizenship, right? Because I had meant to do that years ago. But in any case, doing all those things, it takes the same sort of intentionality and thoughtfulness as it did to create that life instead of, say, dismantling it. And all the elements are still there. In a sense, they've now been repurposed into a different structure, which I'm now building from the ground up. So a new adventure is starting.
I think if I could summarize this, even just to kind of wind it up here, it would be, if you are focused on achieving financial and time freedom, location freedom, that's great. But that's not going to provide you as much fulfillment as actually having a why or a purpose. So it provides great fertile grounds for you to actually say, cool, I have a lot more flexibility. I fulfilled Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the very base level of it. I have time to think about what I want, but you still need something more on top of that. And that's kind of what you got to, is you achieved that ideal lifestyle, crushed. And after 10 years, you realized, holy crap, I just need more purpose. And the cool part I'm realizing now after hearing this is you don't have to wait to build your ideal life first before finding purpose, right? You don't have to have the perfect fertile ground in order to then be able to think and say, okay, now I could finally think about what my purpose is. You can do it both at the same time. And you can discover both at the same time. It doesn't mean it requires a massive amount of time. And honestly, that's something I'm working on too, is figuring out what do I actually want, right? And that's probably a way harder question to ask because there's no right answer versus the question of, hey, how do I get financial and location freedom? Cool, there's already a path. Like, you just literally do it. You just do these X, Y, and Z steps and it gets done. But the bigger question of why, that's a hard one, dude. That's a really hard one.
Well, 100%. And it also works in corporate land, right? That's about the Toyota way. They talk about the five whys, that how do you get to the bottom of a problem? Like, well, why did this tire blow out? Because, well, why? And you get to, and the correspondent to that is, and then what? Right. So as you ask people about their life plan, I'm going to do this. Or, okay. And then what? And then what? And then at some point they say, and then that's it. And then you say, okay, so that's it for you. Like you've got it. And it isn't to ridicule them or to mock what they're saying, but it's really just to try to push the envelope all the way to the edge of what is it that you're seeking and why is it that you're seeking it? And what will you get when you get there? Let's imagine you've achieved all that, right? Okay. Now, what do you feel like? What does that look like? And what's next? And I think these are all helpful thought exercises to help you frame it. Why are you working this hard? And why are we going this direction? You got to know, you owe it to yourself to know why you're doing all this work. And that doesn't always come easy or intuitively. You've got to dig through and journal it, think about it, pray about it. If you pray and be patient with yourself. Yeah. You're not going to have an answer right away.
Stephen, if people here want to read your writings, hear more about Stephen's journey living in a monastery. I don't know if you call it a monastery or where are you right now, but like if they just want to learn more about you.
Sure. It's a seminary that I'm assisting seminary at. So they train priests here. So you can follow me. I'm still active on Twitter at Stephen Heiner. That's STPHENHEINER. I'll make sure that that's in the show notes. Instagram as well. Same at Stephen Heiner. And I'm on Medium under that handle as well. You can find different writings, and I will try to, I've been making notes in a journal about how I've been feeling before I came, my first week, et cetera. So I think at some point writings will emerge, but right now I'm just trying to lay low, follow the rules, figure out, okay, I'm new here. Like, you know, learn how to do things before you start, listen before you start contributing. So, before I start writing about, you know, my great revelation of, what it's like to live here, I need to pay attention and just,
for sure,
and live that life and, be very present in it.
Absolutely. Steve, thanks so much for hopping on the pod.
All right. Thank you.
Catch you soon.
Thanks again for listening, guys. There are two ways I could help you out. Number one is with May This Franchise. If you want to get into business but don't want to go at it alone, we have you covered with everything from A to Z. Check out madethisfranchise.com to start your own remote local business. The next is with the Remote Local Blueprint, which is a course I launched to teach you the foundations of starting your own remote local business in any niche. It's do it yourself at your own pace, and you can check that out at blueprint.beremotelocal.com.